trying to see when the traffic lights on the 101 finally came down and replaced it. They were the last remaining one. I have an article here about the history and how long it took, but I thought it might be nice to know when it finally happened. So maybe we'll start with something else. We'll see if Richard can find that for me. How about work exempt for permits? It seems like a nice idea. Sometimes people say there's a dollar amount that you can, if it's under $500. I thought it was $300, but I'm looking at the City of Santa Barbara Building and Safety Division work exempt from permit form, and it says if it's under $500. But of course, you know, that depends on a lot of things, like what you're doing with that $500. If you're replacing electrical and plumbing, you know, you're supposed to permits exempt. Now, there are a few things that you can get away with, and you might not think so. The City of Santa Barbara, people are afraid of them. If you have a residential structure, an accessory structure, I'm sorry. So basically think shed, tool, storage shed, a playhouse, a portable or a fixed little playhouse, bicycle or skateboard ramps. As long as the floor area does not exceed 120 square feet, so that's 10 by 12, that's a good size shed, and the height does not exceed 10 feet at the highest point, and the structure does not encroach into the required setbacks or required open yard space. Technically, where I live, I have no latitude. I have no extra open yard space. 1991, November 1991, the lights came down. All right, that's very helpful. I think I'll shift over to that story. We'll come back with work permits from the city. You just got the first part. You can have a shed. It can be 120 square feet, not more than 10 feet high. It can't be in the side yard setbacks. And I'll tell you, unless they've changed the rules in the county, it's okay to be in the side yard setback. But for both the county and the city, you cannot have electricity. Now, for some reason, I don't see it here. Oh, no, it says not served by any utilities. Of course, it has a certain utility. It has function, but they mean gas, water, electric. So there you go. So there you go. The county, you could put it in your side yard setback. And sign removal on U.S. 101 gets green light after 31 years. This was written in 1988, and according to Richard's research, hey, that could be the name of like a Google, Richard's research, lights came down 1991. This was written in 1988, and referring to the four traffic lights on the US 101 in Santa Barbara, the state wanted them removed, the city wanted them removed. So the state conducted a preliminary study. Guess which year they conducted the preliminary study? Take a guess. 75. There were no cars. In 1954. So we went from 1954. This is dated 1988, although Richard's saying 1991, the lights came down. So somewhere, though, in that range, at least you know, 40, almost 40 years later. The city initially rejected the state's design. Why? Because it was an elevated freeway through Santa Barbara. If you go back to New York and you take the L train, that stands for elevated, not the letter L. Because the subway literally comes out of the ground and goes up on pilings, and it's an elevated subway. It's an elevated train that goes into the subway. So the first proposal was an elevated freeway. City, the state, The city rejected the idea. Then the state rejected the city's design for a depressed freeway. What an odd term. You could be depressed while driving on the freeway. What is a depressed freeway? I'm guessing subterranean underpass. And for the next 30 years, more than 100 designs were proposed and rejected. More than $3 million was spent by Caltrans on studies. Dozens of environmental impact reports were written. 18 separate city councils debated the issue. Through it all, the traffic lights remained a frequent source of angst for weekend travelers, a daily irritant for residents, and a symbol of bureaucratic delay. Now, I got a ticket on the lights somewhere in the 70s, early 80s. I was driving, it was two lanes at the time, and then there was a third lane for the left-hand turn lane at the light. And for some reason, I was not in the left-hand turn lane. I was in the left lane at the light. And what I just woke up and realized I wanted to make a left-hand turn, obviously, I wasn't paying attention. But the cop who saw me was paying attention. He pulled me over. This was like at 7 in the morning. There was no one on the road for 50 miles except me and the cop. And I said, oh, my God. I said, I'm sorry. I said, oh, I've never got a moving violation. Is this going to count against my insurance? Oh, no. Don't worry about it. It did. I needed that ticket. I mean, I broke the law. So after 34 years, so if they're going from 54, and this was written in 88, maybe that's when it started, in 88. After 34 years, the long-awaited project to remove the four lights will begin this week. This is April 19th, 1988. So there you go. You wonder what could be so complicated about four signal lights. You figure most reasonable men could sit down and solve the problem in a few hours, said Marty Nicholson, a construction engineer for the California Department of Transportation. He was subsequently fired after this article appeared for making that comment. No, I'm kidding. In Santa Barbara, however, planning problems are not solved in a matter of hours, weeks, or months. Who wrote this? Miles Corwin, the LA Times staff writer. I wonder if he's still around, 1988. Google Miles Corwin, see if we can get him on the phone. City officials traditionally have worked hard preserving Santa Barbara's Spanish architectural heritage, limited growth, maintaining the Mediterranean calm of the city. Yeah, I'd like to see this guy write an article about those two-story homes, that like prefab homes that now leer over the freeway on the mountainside of the freeway down near Milpas and Salinas, The ugliest pieces of architect that were pushed through for some crazy state reason where the city didn't have any control. So we were able to delay this for 34 years. And what's the result? We get the most, can't even talk about it. So ugly. So the city is accustomed to stalling proposals until their specifications are met. But the freeway project will not be completed until 1991. Well, that was pretty good. At least in 1988, they had that right. Almost 40 years after it was first discussed. And even for Santa Barbara, four decades is a long time to wait. Willing to wait. City will finally get the freeway it wants, though. And it's not another anonymous swath of concrete cutting through town. The city contributed $250,000 for arches, ironwork, and other flourishes. So one of the freeway undercrossings will look like a Spanish Renaissance bridge and be a gateway to the city. If this was Ventura, or for that matter, almost any place, this freeway would have been built a long time ago, said Joe Callahan, who studied numerous freeway proposals when he served on the city council in the 1950s. Well, that's a slap in the face to Ventura. But this is Santa Barbara, and Santa Barbara want things done a certain way. And if they're not, people are willing to wait until they are. And although for decades, neither the city nor the state could agree on a plan, both shared an overriding goal, the elimination of the traffic lights. The state wanted the lights removed because they represented the only interruption along 435 miles of US 101 between Los Angeles and San Francisco. The city wanted the lights removed because they weren't Spanish. No, because the exhaust fumes from idling cars cause pollution, and the accident rate, about 200 a year, is much higher than the average four-lane urban freeway. Also, cross-traffic backs up for blocks as residents wait for the light to briefly flash green. The average wait's 4 minutes and up to 8 minutes on busy weekends. That makes it the longest traffic signal in the state. Well, if both the city and the state share the same basic goal, why did it take almost 40 years? During the 1960s, Caltrans took a bulldozer approach and was not used to negotiating with local government. So said Gerald Lorden, director of the Area Planning Council and Association of Local Cities. And Santa Barbara would not accept just any freeway design. Good for them. Caltrans offered the elevated freeway. The city opposed it. It would block views and divide the city in two. And the elevation would accentuate the freeway noise and exhaust fumes. I don't know about the exhaust fumes. It would make it higher. They'd go up to the sky quicker. Wouldn't that be true? Traffic moves stopless through Santa Barbara. Oh, is that like sleepless in Seattle? And that's the Seattle Times. And this is 1981. Finally, the inauguration of the freeway. Traffic moves stopless through Santa Barbara. That's very clever. As opposed to sleepless or topless. Now we're back to Callahan. He served on the city council from 1949 to 1958, and he was one of the few city officials who supported the original proposal of the elevated freeway. And here we are almost 40 years later, still talking about that damn freeway, said Callahan, age 91, laughing. I hope to live to see the day it's finished. See if we can find out when Callahan died. Did he die 3 years later before it was finished? Yeah, we should have something. Joe Callahan. Call A-H-A-N, Joe Callahan. I hope I live to see the day it's finished. Callahan, a retired contractor, said he wanted the freeway built in the 1950s because we needed it and the price was right. The estimated for the original proposal in the 50s was $6 million. Project would now cost $32 million. Includes bridges, undercrossings, pedestrian walkway. For every Caltrans proposal, the city has offered a counterproposal. Soon after Santa Barbara rejected the elevated freeway, city officials suggested a depressed freeway. Well, maybe the depressed freeway is not what we ended up with. That's with the roadbed below street surface and cross streets going over the highway. You know, I think I've seen areas like that. They literally were going to trench the 101. And depress it. And then we would have bridges like on State Street and Garden and all the streets. You would go over it. Wow. I know I've seen that somewhere. The state was not receptive because of the greater expense and technical difficulties. Really? Like you might get water? Of course, we don't have water under the State Street and Garden Street underpass. Well, how can we have water under the Castillo Street underpass? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Listener Steve Hogerman wrote in and said, if the drought gets really bad, we can always start pumping out the Castillo Street underpass and use that water. Steve Hogerman, the Frenchman, the French festival guy. And, you know, the depressed freeway, that would have been interesting. And then you could have put a lid on it. It would have been like a tunnel. Then you wouldn't have heard the noise at all. God, is it too late to do that? Probably. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Can you imagine the retaining walls and the cost? Give me a bid on that. Let's call up Mark Souter, see if he could give a bid on that. Probably take 40 years to get that bid. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. I think that segment took about 40 years just to read it. My God. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. You know, what happened to the traffic lights? What did they do with them? They should have put them somewhere. They should be on display.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, I mean, that's iconic. Andy Warhol could have painted the traffic lights or something. We should. How many Google instructions have I given you so far? Find out what happened to the lights. Mark Schneiman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. I think I've had this article since 1988. I've been meaning to read it, which is a neat trick since I started the show in 98. Mark Schneiman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break and come back with a new plan to depress the 101 freeway.